WildTalkRadio.com.
Wild Talk Radio presents to you the Monday Night Raw Post Show.
Oh, yes!
Featuring Sir Rockin'.
It's just a matter what the Rock is cooking.
And Lindsay Ward.
Rest in peace.
Interact with us live and give us your thoughts on everything that happens on Monday Night Raw.
And that's the bottom line, because Stone Cold said so.
And if you're not down with that, we got two words for ya!
Because we believe in doing what is best for all of you.
Because after all, what's best for all of you is what's best for business.
Now step into the ring with us for the Raw Post Show.
This is Monday Night Raw!
Legit, holy moment on Monday Night Raw. This is the Raw Post Show presented as always by MBG Films. YouTube.com/MBG1211. The Rebel Heart is back in WWE. I'm Sir Rock, and that's Lindsay Ward.
Oh my God, Hunter. Hunter. Hunter, you crazy, glorious bastard. What have you done? Oh my God. Okay, all right. I am so pleasantly surprised so far that my hope and faith that was restored a month ago is being repaid. Because, oh my God, what is just going on? All of this is good. Like, all of this is great. Like, it's just the surprise, the beautiful moment that was the surprise on Monday Night Raw. In both ways, it was wonderful. Should we just talk about it?
That's where we're going to start. So Monday Night Raw came back from a commercial, and there was silence. It was like, okay, someone's just coming out. And then you heard Rebel Heart. And legitimately, I went, holy shit. Lindsay can contest to that.
We both did. It's like, we've been waiting for him. Everybody's been waiting for Johnny Gargano to come back. Everybody. And it's like, where is he going to go? That's been the biggest question in wrestling for the last 9 months, ever since he left NXT, is where is Johnny going to go? Because Candace had the baby, so he's been at home being, you know, daddy wrestling, and he's been hanging out with Candace and the baby, and that's awesome, but it's like, at some point, he's going to want to come back, right? Like, he's going to kind of want to come back and do the wrestling thing again. So the question is where does he go? Does he come back to WWE? Does he take his chances on the indies? Does he go to AEW? Does he go to Impact? Like, where does he go? Because especially with the purchase of ROH under the AEW banner, it's like, well, it would make sense he would go to AEW, right? And work for ROH because that's where he rose to prominence. But maybe not, because he rose to even higher prominence in WWE. And we got our answer tonight, where Johnny Gargano just, you know, casually walked out on Monday Night Raw. Nobody knew he was there.
Nope.
Bravo to them for that. Like I was telling Rock before the show, y'all need to stop saying that WWE doesn't know how to do surprises. They know how to do surprises. They just choose to be lazy sometimes, okay?
Sometimes they just tell you things in advance to make sure you're aware of it, if you think about it.
Yeah, but like tonight was, they got Johnny Gargano to Toronto. Nobody knew he was there. Nobody knew what was going on. Everybody assumed last week that, you know, Johnny would show up because they were in Cleveland, and he didn't. And so it's like, okay, all right, what's going on? Which incidentally, by the way, speaking of last week, I would like to personally thank Triple H for not doing this last week and generally not booking this show last week, because I was very tired last Monday. So the fact that I didn't have to do a post show last Monday was beneficial, because I shit you not, Monday Night Raw ended and I went right to bed.
She did.
So I'm very grateful that this week was this week, because this is something to talk about. But yeah, like, just the return of Johnny and then the fan service moment.
All right, let's get through it. Let's get through what happened. All right.
I'm excited. Can you tell?
You're excited. Let's slow it down. Slow it down.
Speed it up.
So Johnny Gargano thanked everyone. He goes, "Well, surprise, everybody." He says it's been about 9 months since he's been in the wrestling ring, and he joked about not being sure what to do. First, Shawn Michaels ism of the night, because Shawn goes, what am I supposed to do? You talk through the mic? He introduced himself. He says that he's Johnny Gargano. Kind of big deal in NXT. That's a sign that someone's no longer there. We're actually mentioning it. And he talks about all how he was the NXT champion, 3-time North American champion, tag team champion, won the belt in that venue where they're at tonight. He kept pondered whether he wanted to continue to wrestle while he was gone. He spoke about been playing with his six-month-old, who he dubbed Baby Wrestling, which got a huge Baby Wrestling chant.
I mean, that is the baby's name, Baby Wrestling.
He said he remembered, you know, having big dreams about becoming Intercontinental Champion, U.S. Champion, WWE Champion, and wrestling at WrestleMania. He said he had to teach his son that even the biggest dreams can come true. He said when he left, you will never fail if you bet on yourself. He said that's what he's doing now. I stand here incredibly proud to say Johnny Wrestling is back in WWE. Out came Theory. Came to ring and... Is this real? Is this actually happening? He said it's been 9 months and a lot has happened and, you know, all the things. Jenny's like, I've changed a lot of diapers and watched a lot of Bluey. So there was that. The fans then at this point go, who's your daddy? And Jenny's like, me? I'm the daddy?
Is it me?
To me? A lot has happened in 9 months. I became the youngest U.S. champion, competed at WrestleMania, and I'm on the way to become the undisputed WWE Universal Champion via this Money in the Bank thing. It's almost like all the things you dreamed of, I've already done. Theory told Johnny that he couldn't have done it without him, and the crowd starts doing what's. And now, he's the veteran, and Johnny's the rookie. You can carry my bags, you can carry the briefcase, because you can hand it to me when I cash in to become the undisputed WWE Universal Champion. But... Theory's like, but for old time's sake, let's do the old high five bit. Let's do our thing. And then Shawn Michaels is in number two. Super kick to his old pal. Theory lays him out and does the little Shawn Michaels shimmy around Theory to end the segment.
I love that they just went for it right off the bat. I like that they're probably going for the feud right off the bat. Because you can't dance around the history between Theory and Gargano. I mean, you could. Like, if this was the old regime, they would find a way around it. But just to go for the fan service moment right off the bat and just give it to us. Here's Austin Theory, here's Johnny Gargano.
Yeah, really quick. We had a couple way references as well.
Yeah. They didn't shy away from it. They didn't go around it. It's just, this is the history between the two, you know, and where they're at now versus where they were at 9 months ago are completely different places.
Yeah.
And Austin Theory has grown. He's changed. He is now a heel on Monday Night Raw, and Johnny Gargano is returning and essentially getting called up from NXT. So I liked the fact that it's, hey, I'm the vet and you're the rookie because I've been on the main roster for 9 months or however long he's been on the main roster. And Johnny's just coming back.
Yeah.
So it's like, I outrank you now. So I, you know, basically I can do whatever I want because I outrank you. And Johnny's like, nah.
Yeah.
That's not how that works. So I like how they framed all that and they did all that. I love the little Shawn Michaels call out. That was so cute, where he does the super kick and then he does the Shawn dance.
Yeah, not the pose, but like Shawn's little runaround circle thing.
Like, oh, it was a nice little Shawn call out.
It was so good.
And he's just Johnny being Johnny. And it was so, like, this was just so well executed. I applaud them for this because this was well done.
It was very well done.
And it was so simple. Like, that's the thing about the show is everything was so simple, but there's, like we were saying, there's a beauty in simplicity,
mm-hmm.
especially if you execute it well.
Yeah.
Like, you don't need to do overblown gimmicks. You don't need to overcomplicate things. You just get right to the point because that's really what people want is they want the point. People have short attention spans, so you have to get there really, really quick. You don't want to have these long, rambling segments where it's like, well, why are we here?
Yeah.
Right? It's like, it's for a lot of us, it's, this could have been an email. that's the attention span that they're dealing with, is it's, this could have been an email. You made this a meeting, but this could have been an email. We've all been there. So it's like, we're just going to get to the point right now, and then we're going to do all the other shit, and then we're going to frame around it. Which, was, like I said, this was just beautifully executed. I'm very thrilled with this.
So Monday Night Raw opened with a backstage brawl between Riddle and Seth Rollins.
Where Seth is wearing his Leather Daddy gear, and, you know, he's beating the shit out of Riddle, and Riddle is responding in kind, because Riddle doesn't want to, you know, do things. So they're just fighting, and they fought backstage, they fought through the crowd, they fought everywhere. Yep. I mean, they just beat the shit out of each other, which, continuity.
Yeah.
Started last week. They got pulled apart. They continued it this week where it's like they both got to the building. They were both there. Riddle waited for his moment, and then he just jumped on Seth, and they just went. Or Seth jumped on Riddle. I don't think we saw actually how the fight started. They were just fighting.
We saw it as it happened, you know, in progress.
Yeah, it was already in progress. So we don't know who jumped who, but it's... or how it started, but you just had them fight everywhere, and you had officials chasing them around and trying to pull them apart and try to keep them apart and stop them from fighting. And I just, again, it's a simple thing that I really like, because you need those moments, because that's a very real sort of thing, right? Like, if you're in this really heated feud, not everybody's going to take the high road.
No.
Not everybody's going to be able to contain themselves and behave themselves. You know, it's something that things are going to get out of hand from time to time, and you're just going to throw hands.
Yeah.
And that's what you had here, is you have this rivalry heating up between Seth and Matt, where it's like, I just want to fight you. I don't even want to get in a ring. I just don't want to fight you. I want to punch you in the face. You have pissed me off that hard that all I see when I see you is your face with an imprint of my fist in it.
I mean, Rollins tried to take him out for good, so Riddle has every right to want to go after Seth Rollins weekly. Next week, they'll be face-to-face. See how they can contain themselves.
And that's what I like, because you've had Matt Riddle for over a year, actually I think close to two, kind of doing the comedy gimmick with Randy. And being in the comedy tag team and kind of being the stoner dude and the laid back dude. And he's very good at that. But every once in a while, the pot has to boil over with Matt Riddle, and he has to get angry. And you have to see that even the most chillax person, when they're pushed to the breaking point, what happens. And that's what we're seeing now with Matt Riddle, is it's like, he's still that cool, chill, relaxed guy that we see, but his anger is boiling over, and it's to the point that he's just going for Seth Rollins. Like, he's just going to beat him up. And it's such a simple little thing, but it's great storytelling. It's consistent storytelling. Like, that's the one thing I hate in wrestling, is I hate you. But I'm going to contain myself. I'm not going to throw hands. I'm not going to do this. I'm not going to do that. Like, everybody's just very kind of robotic in it. It's like, to have those doses of reality that you have people getting jumped backstage and in the parking lot and everywhere else. That's what the show kind of needed.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, I'm not going to wait for the show. I'm not going to wait for us to be in a ring. We're doing this now. Because essentially between Matt and Matt and Seth, is that it's personal. It's not a professional feud. It's a personal feud, and the stakes go higher. So, like I said, liked this a lot.
Then out came Trish Stratus.
Yay, we love Trish.
She said, it's good to be home, and I'm not just talking about Toronto, but in this ring. How it feels to be in back between these ropes. Fans want it one more match. She's been doing a lot of thinking, and this brought out Bailey and the crew. We went to break. Bailey talks about how, you know, it's their ring now, and, you know, Trish Stratus, we admired you before, but you're old news now. Bailey asks, who the hell Trish is at this point? You've been with us all weekend. Well, like, this is our ring. You need to get out of our ring, basically. This brought out Bianca Belair. Yeah, she said Bailey isn't even in the same stratosphere as Trish. Get it? Bianca said Bayley should thank Trish because if it wasn't for her, there would be no Bayley. She was a trailblazer, a legend, and Toronto is her city. She was running, she was walking so they could all run. Bianca told Bayley to stop being so disrespectful. She said she doesn't need to defend Trish because, well, she can defend herself. And Trish takes off her thing and her jacket and is like, I can go from was retired to unretired if Bayley doesn't stop running her mouth. And then Bayley's like, well, it's three of us and there's two of you. And Trish is like, well, you see about that. Out came Alexa and Asuka. And now it's four versus three. Bayley said Shiraz is lucky she was feeling generous and would let things slide in her hometown. And Trish wished the girls good luck because they're going to need it to go up against Asuka and Alexa. So we'll stop there. Thoughts?
This was good. I like this. It was a nice sort of segment to introduce Trish. It was a great use of Trish.
Yeah. And they've been working off each other all weekend, so that was good. And Bayley tying that in and said, yeah, we've dealt with you all weekend. You can go now. We've had enough of you. Which was really good. This led to Io and Dakota taking on Alexa and Asuka in the WWE Women's Tag Team Title Tournament. This was a really good match.
I enjoyed this.
Give me more of Dakota and Asuka.
Yo!
They worked really, really well together.
See, these were the opponents that Dakota needed mm-hmm. right here. Like, yeah. No offense to Dana at all. She tried. She tried really, really hard, but Dakota needs just somebody a little bit different. Asuka proved that because she got a really good match out of Dakota. Not that it's difficult,
but it was their styles meshed, which is what you wanted.
Yeah, exactly.
So there we got to the point where Asuka put Dakota in the Asuka lock. She was tapping, but there was a blind tag that Asuka did not see. This allowed Io to roll up Asuka and get the win. It went about 20 minutes. Io and Dakota move on in the tournament. This was really good.
I like this a lot. Like, this was just very, very enjoyable. I like how they're doing Bayley's group.
Yeah.
I mean, it's they're not overwhelming. You get them, like, maybe a handful of times on the show, but it's not the entire show. Week after week after week after week is framed around them. They're featured. Like, we had the setup where the week was, or that show was framed around them, and then after that, it's just, okay, we're just doing the thing. Yeah. And we're just here, and we're just making everybody's lives miserable, and we're just being a giant headache, and that's all.
So Dolph Ziggler was being interviewed by Kevin Patrick, who was interrupted then by Finn Balor and Rhea Ripley. Balor said Ziggler couldn't teach him anything. Ziggler said there was one thing he could teach him, then dropped him with a punch. Ziggler's like, you're going to come out there? So this led to Finn and Dolph, who had a really good match, with Finn getting the win after a cheap shot from Rhea Ripley. Good stuff.
Very, very good stuff.
There was a little thing where he kind of was waiting for the punch, but, you know, it is what it is. Leah was being interviewed by Sarah Schreiber, who then was interrupted by Bayley and Dakota and Io. Bayley said Io and Dakota won the tournament. Bayley asked, where's your partner? She's like, none of your business. Well, Bayley said it was stupid of Leah to show up on her own. In walks Trish. And this would allow Leah to challenge Bayley to a match, which she did. Before we got to that, Adam Pearce was running around with a photo.
Who are they looking for? The story continues.
The story that continues. Bayley would go on to beat Aaliyah. Good little match.
This is a nice way to sort of bring Bayley back in gently. She doesn't need to wrestle all the time.
Nope.
I'm sure she wants to, but like, she doesn't necessarily need to wrestle on TV all the time because she's the leader of the group. So you have to go through the other two before you get to Bayley. But you need to keep her active. You need to show that she can work. You need to show that she's okay after the knee injury. And so that's a really just good way to work her in. You have a nice little easy match with Aaliyah. And then you move on.
Alpha Academy, Chad Gable and Otis came to the ring. And it was an open challenge night. Gable said Alpha Academy has decided to accept some new students when they were starting to search in Canada, but couldn't because they could only find toothless, washed-up former hockey players. He talked about Toronto by saying their hockey team was lost to a team from Tampa. They don't have any ice in Tampa Bay, which is true. We had a Go Leafs chant. Gable continued brought up Austin Matthews, who's American apparently, and not Canadian, even though it plays for the Canadian hockey team. You know, cheap heat. But it was time for an open challenge, and out walked Kevin Owens. old school KO. Old shirt, old Titantron. KO came to the ring. They had a really good match between the two. Kevin Owens would get the win. Afterwards, Otis would attack. They tried to do 2-on-1 on Kevin Owens. A couple of stunners and a powerbomb on Gable onto Otis. Kevin Owens stood victorious. Fans wanted Sammy, but no Sammy.
That's okay. We'll take this Kevin Owens, because this Kevin Owens is fun. He's back, y'all. He's back in a big way, and I'm here for it.
Bobby Lashley and AJ Styles, Team TNA, took on Miz and Ciampa.
I mean, Bobby and AJ together is not a bad thing.
No. And this was a logical booking. They've been feuding with Miz and Ciampa in their own singles endeavors, and teaming them up against the two has made very, very much sense. This was a good match between the two. And then there were some shenanigans that went on. So there, before all this, back there was a backstage moment. There was some riot gear, people in riot gear backstage, right?
Well, there was like the WWE officials standing around a smoking something, I guess a smoking device of some kind, and you had two cops in riot gear, or two security guys, because they didn't have badges, in riot gear. It's like, why are there guys in riot gear? That doesn't make any sense, because all they had was like a fire extinguisher where they had put out a fire. Here it comes.
So they were all everything was going on, and AJ was fighting with Miz on the outside, and a man reaches over the barricade and starts to choke AJ Styles.
And by this point, we're all waiting for Dexter. Like, we all know he's coming, because this is the MO, right? He's shown up now 2 weeks in a row. He's bound to show up here unless the cops have managed to catch him. So, like you said, sure enough, somebody comes up over the barricade. They're hooded. You can't really see them. Oh, it's Dexter. Okay, so Dexter and, I guess, AJ, they're going to feud. Okay, all right, that's interesting.
But it wasn't Dexter Loomis. Some random dude, who then was mobbed by security and all the riot police, took him away. He's like, okay, so what's going on here? Is Dexter working with somebody? Who was that? And before you could even figure that part out, on the other barricade, there's Dexter. He grabs and chokes Miz, lifts up the helmet. There he is. You know who he is. And he starts to drag Miz away. And that's how things went. So Miz got taken away by Dexter. And Corey's like, AJ and Lashley took out Ciampa because, you know, make sure he can't help Miz. Corey's like, we know that's Dexter Loomis, but he doesn't work here. But
that was a nice little touch.
So does Dexter have followers?
See, I have a theory that because, like, Dexter's been showing up and causing a distraction and everything like that, that Miz, like, decided to take advantage of that and paid somebody off to potentially have them attack AJ and cause a distraction, right? But Dexter could have followers. Because it's like, well, what is he going to do with Miz? Why is he dragging Miz off? I'm curious. I'm intrigued. I'm not against any of this. I'm just very curious. But I like how they had Dexter disguised as the Riot in the Riot gear. Because now it makes you want to go back into Raw and look at that background shot and see if it's Dexter standing there.
May have to.
Just to see if it's him, because now it's, oh my god, Miz has been kidnapped, which my one criticism of this is nobody was concerned. So I hope there's some kind of follow-up on social or something like that, that, oh my god, the Miz has been kidnapped, what the hell? Or they find him laying in the parking lot or something like that.
I want Instagram posts from Maurice or tweets from Maurice going, what the hell's going on?
Yeah, where is he? What happened? You know, even if it's Maurice next week, like, or Maurice... Yeah, you know, on a backstage exclusive, what the hell? Where is my husband? What did you do? You lost him. He got kidnapped. Like, this is very intriguing. But the good touch to this was he doesn't work here. We all know who it is. They finally acknowledge him. We all know it's Dexter Loomis. But he doesn't work here. Nice.
That's the key to it all.
Chef's kiss on that. Because it's like, we all know he does, right? Like, we all know he actually works there. But, like, he's getting paid to do all this. But still, it's like the chef's kiss of, well, we know it's him. We all recognize him. Like, they can't deny it anymore because he keeps showing up. So it's like, okay, right, yes, that's Dexter Loomis. Yes, he used to work here, but he doesn't now. he left. Or no, he got fired.
Yeah, he got fired.
He got fired. So it's, he's not a part of this company anymore, but he, you know, he's allowed to be in the building as long as he buys a ticket, right? He can be there as long as he buys a ticket, except, well, he's been causing problems. So it's, yes, it's Dexter Lumis. Yes, we know who it is, but we don't acknowledge him. He doesn't go here, and we don't know why he's here. Like, that's just a subtle, nice way to do the storytelling on that.
So your main event of the show was Edge and Damian Priest. They had a really good match between the two. We had a ref bump. We had teases of concertos. We had nice counters from... We had an unprettier at one point. We had Priest going for a spear, which Edge caught into a choke slam. Edge went through the announce table at one point. We had the ref bump, which went for Priest, went for the concerto. Edge did the whole break the thing and stick the pole in the mouth gimmick. And all that stuff. Edge would counter the Razor's Edge with a Canadian Destroyer into a spear for the win, but Edge was going for the concerto. Rhea attacks with a low blow. Finn shows up, coup de grace on Edge. They're ready to take out Edge one more time with chairs, but Beth Phoenix pulls the chair away from Finn. She gets in the ring and she's just pounding that chair into the mat. Like, come on, you want to go? You want to go? And you get the Rhea and Beth locking eyes for a moment, and they pull her back, and yeah, good stuff. You had Edge getting onto his knees right next to his wife to close out the show.
This was a good way to finish. I will not lie. This match probably should have been on pay-per-view. It's kind of a sin that we got that for free, but also I'm entirely grateful we got it for free. So thank you very much. And you knew at some point Beth was going to show up. Like, you knew Beth was going to get involved. She has to, right? So there's the second part of the puzzle, which is Beth is joining Edge to stand against Judgment Day, which incidentally put Beth Phoenix against all three members of Judgment Day. She will annihilate all three. Mom has no fear. And we all have the full faith in her. Yeah, I thought about that too, Lemans. I thought for a second that she was going to betray him because she's wearing the white and black.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't... See, I don't know, because you've had so many twists and turns in this already, and I think they are honestly just trying to salvage this as much as they possibly can because they put the investment into it, where it was going in a direction, and then they changed the direction, and now they're trying to bring it back, because I think their plan was this was supposed to go really supernatural, and that just didn't happen. And now they're trying to make this work.
And it would have made no sense for the wife to turn on the husband.
Yeah.
Not at this stage of the game. Not when they're very vocal about being husband and wife. It doesn't make any sense.
But she looked cute as shit. That jacket is really cute. But yeah, this was a wonderful way to close out the show. Is Beth has Edge's back, and now they just need a third. So I wonder who their third could be.
Who that jumping out the sky? R-E-Y.
Are we sure?
Yeah, I would assume that's the third. Because earlier tonight, Finn mentioned that he has Rey in his pocket. So that would be the third in that situation. And then Dominic's hanging from a pole somewhere.
Oh, that's right. They still have Dominic, don't they?
I don't know if they have Dominic, but Dominic's somewhere hanging, waiting for Rhea. I mean, I don't know. But that was Raw. That was a fun show. Third hour was really good. Whole show was good. Kevin was great. Trish was great. Matches were great. Johnny's return was awesome. I liked everything about the show.
It was great. I've echoed throughout this post show. This was a good show to watch. This was fun.
But that was right here for the Raw post show. Live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Thursday night we're back live, 10 p.m. Eastern on the Thursday for the Rack and not talking Raw on Thursdays.
Yes, no, because I will close the show wrong. But yes, tune in. We have news, notes, a discussion.
We're doing a sports tier list.
That's right. We're doing a sports tier list. So tune in. It's The Rack. Thursday night, 10 p.m. Eastern, right here on WildTalkRadio.com.
Saturday night, midnight, another edition of CB Radio, CBRadio.com, GrayandGrayDebate.com. Before that, Fortnite with friends. We're actually going to play Fortnite this weekend. So, y'all lucky. Sunday night, it's WTR Sunday Night, Wrestle Talk Radio, 10 p.m. Eastern. The preview Clash at the Castle. We'll be back next Monday for the Raw Post Show, 11 p.m. Eastern. It's at Wild Talk Radio. It's facebook.com/Wild Talk Radio Network. If you have that Amazon Prime chat, you can link it to your Twitch account. It's called Prime Gaming. You can support the channel just by clicking For that purple rectangular button below the screen, you can use credit code RocketSock or
Lynn's M. Ward
in the Fortnite item shop or the Epic Game Store, where you can buy Madden NFL 23, which the review is available right now at RockRadioShow.com. And you can also check out the Rock Extra reviews. There's only one problem, the Brian Gerwerth book, that's now available. You can buy your Gokus and Vegetas and Beerus and some other one. Buy your Dragon Ball Z stuff. Use the codes. Because we're a hashtag
Epic Partners.
There you go.
You can follow me on most of the social medias at Linsward, LNSWD. Follow me on Twitch. Because tomorrow, guys, there is the Genshin launch of 3.0, and we are going to Sumeru. So we have to check that out together. So it'll be a late stream. It'll probably be about 10:30, 11 o'clock at night. But tune in, twitch.tv/Linsward.
If we've done our math correct, don't think we've done it correctly. But if we've
there is no we in this math. There is you.
If we've
If
we've done our math correctly, it's 11 Eastern.
Just follow us on Twitter. We'll tweet.
Yeah, it's 11 Eastern when we'll be live. If it's earlier and it drops earlier, just, again, follow the socials and you'll see tweets and be like, hey, Lindsay's live at twitch.tv/Lindsay Ward. Go watch the thing. So anyway, that'll do it for us live right here on Wild Talk Radio Network. We'll see you Thursday night for The Rack, tomorrow for a Genshin stream, and right back here every Monday night for the Raw Post Show, 11 p.m. Eastern, along the areas of Wild Talk Radio Network, streaming live at wildtalkradio.com and right here at twitch.tv/WTRLive.
WildTalkRadio.com.